In just a moment, American Adventure. But first, you'll meet some stimulating people tomorrow when you switch your radio dial to this NBC station and join America's favorite daytime radio service, Weekday. The fine company includes Margaret Truman and Mike Wallace, your hosts, plus famous personalities like tomorrow's guests, Nelson Eddy and Margaret Burke White, photographer for one of the nation's leading news magazines. There's always something interesting and newsworthy on Weekday. So listen Monday through Friday for Weekday on this NBC radio station. And now, stay tuned for American Adventure on NBC.
The University of North Carolina presents American Adventure, a study of man in the New World, his values and his characteristics, who he is, what he believes, what he lives by. American Adventure is written by John Ely, directed by John Clayton, and is produced and recorded by the University of North Carolina Communications Center, Earl Wynn, director. Unlike most American Adventure programs, tonight's story is fictional. We call it The Demagogue.
It's 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You're sitting in the bleachers at the baseball stadium. And on the field is the platform from which the candidate for the Senate has just finished a powerful speech. You're standing, applauding. The man next to you says...
He's a great candidate, isn't he? Great speaker.
You nod.
He used to be a college professor, but he's a real man of the people, for all that.
You nod again. Notice that the candidate and his wife are waving to the crowd. Then you see another man. A man with heavy eyebrows, a grim expression in his eyes, and a wry smile on his face. He's sitting on the platform. In the whole stadium, he's the only man who does not stand. He alone does not applaud. It's strange about the one man.
What did you think of my speech, Charlie?
Oh, everyone seemed to like it all right, man.
Say, I noticed you, Charlie. You didn't stand like the others.
I have flat feet, you know that, man.
You didn't even applaud.
I sprained a wrist once. Now lay off, will you?
Sure, forget him, man.
Well, I guess that's right. My worry on the last night of the campaign, one more speech, it's all over.
Now, here's the way it shapes up for the rest of the evening, man. If the train gets to the Capitol on time, we arrive at 8:05. Have a short press conference in the car outside the compartment here. Then you get in the car, they'll have waiting. The police escort will take you to the city auditorium.
Right.
The radio and television programs are due to begin at 8:30.
Fine.
Now, I wrote a few additional comments for tonight's speech.
When did you start writing Matt's speeches, Seth?
When you stopped making the people stand up and clap, Mr.
Now, look, man, no arguments. Please, not tonight. Tomorrow night, when I'm elected, you two can have a fist fight for all I care, but not now. Not on the last night.
Surely you've noticed, Charlie, that the people respond more now that I'm helping Matt outline his thoughts.
They're not his thoughts.
Now, I'll take care of that, Charlie. Don't you...
You stood up there this afternoon at the stadium, Matt, and it seemed like you were trying to run on a combat veteran's record. You ever see any action overseas, Matt?
Well, I believe I went out on a patrol mission once or twice. But Seth thought it added to the sincerity of the thing.
Sure. Seemed like you changed your mind on internal security, too.
Charlie, let's not worry about...
I didn't think you thought this country was going to fall because of subversives unless you were elected.
Well...
You don't think there's subversives in the government, Charlie?
I expect there are, Seth. I expect there always have been, don't you?
You think that's good?
I think it's dangerous. I think something smart should be done about it. But I also think, as Matt did when we started this campaign...
Now, I'll speak for myself, Charlie.
That when you start talking about national security, you'd have your facts straight. And that by confusing people and smearing every honest champion of economic justice as a red or a communist, you becloud the issue and hide the real subversives.
Where did you get this boob, Matt?
Now, look, forget it, both of you. I don't want to hear any more. We're running well, gentlemen. I'm gaining votes. I'm going to win tomorrow. And I just don't want to hear any more.
Now, what you want to do is ask more questions, like... Why did Senator Blake become a director in Americans for Peace, a communist-infiltrated organization?
All right, put it in.
In answer to your question, Blake became a director at Americans for Peace because he believed in peace. As to the communists, communists infiltrate every worthwhile organization they can, including the U.S. government. By your logic, Seth, this would mean that only a collaborator with a communist would run for the Senate, and that's what Matt is running for.
I was thinking about you while you were eating, Charlie. I was wondering if maybe you were a pink or even a red.
Now, cut that out, will you, Seth?
What did you decide?
I didn't reach any decision.
How would you go about deciding? What is a communist, Seth?
You mean who is a communist?
I mean what is one.
Well, he's not American.
Neither is Churchill.
He's a snake.
So was Pontius Pilate.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I see a communist, I know him.
Seth, you wouldn't know a communist if one came to you with a red flag on his chest and his party membership card taped to his forehead. The chances are you'd like him pretty well because he's accustomed to the same tactics you use.
Now, look here.
Seth, Charlie, shut up. Get out of here, Seth.
What?
Go on outside. I want to talk to Charlie alone.
Sure, Matt.
Charlie. This is terribly hard for me.
I'll make it as easy as I can, Matt. If you want me no longer around, why...
Oh, nonsense. Of course I want you around. What I'm trying to tell you is that... Well, it's hard to do what I have to do to win. Some people can't understand about winning, but I've always had to win, Charlie. And we debated together back in high school. You remember, we lost only two debates.
I remember.
Just had to get away after we lost those two debates.
Yes, I noticed.
You know why?
I never understood, Matt.
I was afraid I was going to break down and cry. I can't lose, Charlie. I love the fight. I love to win. I want applause. I can't be laughed at, you see?
Perhaps as best I can, I do.
10 years ago, I started getting ready to run for the Senate, taking reporters to dinner, picking up the checks, phoning political leaders when I went through a town, making contributions at the right time to the right people, making news and getting it printed.
Okay, Matt, okay.
Then
but...
the campaign started, and I got you to help me with the speeches. They were good. I was doing well. All the editors were pleased. I was saying significant things, but I wasn't winning. You see, Charlie, I was way behind.
Senator Blake has made a great record, Matt.
Well, perhaps he did have one. But you're looking at the man right now who's beaten him. Hands down, no questions asked, beaten him. No matter what I've done, I'm winning.
I have to win.
Don't you see, Charlie? I have a right to fight hard to win, don't I? When I get to Washington, I'm going to change. I'm going to be the kind of senator you thought I'd be. But I have to win first. Don't I, Charlie?
Matt, either tonight you repudiate much of what you've said in the last several days, or you'll not be able to change.
Repudiate? Why?
Because it'll come back in a dozen ways. There'll be more sets because there'll be more times you have to win the bad way. Maybe you can still win, Matt. Maybe you can win honestly.
Maybe I could, Charlie. But I can't take the chance.
It's 7:40 and we're already 10 minutes behind schedule, Matt.
Then cancel the press conference at the Capitol.
Right. There are a couple of reporters on the train now. You might talk to them.
You think I should?
Why not?
I'll see them for a minute.
Then there are two people in the car outside who want to see you.
What about?
Contribution.
Now, we don't make a report on contributions till after the voting, Seth.
They want to make a contribution, Matt. Calm down, will you?
All right. Send them in. I'll talk to them, then to the reporters.
Right.
Hey, where's Charlie?
Who knows, Matt? Who cares? Come on into the compartment, please, Mr. and Miss Simpson. This is Mr. Matthews, Mr. Simpson.
How do you do?
My pleasure, sir.
This is my wife.
How do you do? Won't you sit down?
No, no. We'll take only a moment. We heard you were on the train.
Yes.
And we decided to take this opportunity to give you a gift to help in your fight against communism once you get to Washington.
Oh, well, fine.
For some years, I've opposed communism. I was a Lutheran minister in Czechoslovakia for 7 years.
One of our daughters is still there.
I see.
And my wife and I are both happy to find a man of your background and enthusiasm to step forward and lead in this fight.
Well, I appreciate all that.
Here is our check, sir.
Fine. Thank you, sir, for this contribution. See, $1,000 is quite a large amount for a preacher, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
You do hate communists, don't you?
I don't hate, sir. As best I can, I am a Christian, sir. But I know they are wrong. I know that they deny the existence of God, and denying that, they destroy the fundamental dignity of man. Please use the money wisely. Good night, sir.
Good night. Hey, Seth.
Yeah? What's the matter?
Keep people like that out of here. They make me nervous.
about letting us
know? Okay, quieting down. One at a time. All right, you go first, sir.
Do you think your campaign has been a fair one, Mr. Matthews?
You reporters know that it has been. I've had the uncomfortable task of exposing Senator Blake for what his record shows him to be.
And what is that, sir?
Well, inconsistent, shall we say.
Have you always dealt honestly with that record?
I don't care to answer questions like that. I don't think he's suing me, is he?
The secretary is.
Huh? How's that?
You said the secretary was a communist.
Oh, no. I never said anything of the kind.
We reported only 2 days ago.
No, I believe I said I don't think Senator Blake's secretary is, at the moment, a card-carrying member of the Communist Party.
Yes.
Well, don't you see? I'm saying the secretary's not a communist member.
But aren't you also trying to imply that he once was, or that he is a communist, though not a member?
I'm trying to make a simple statement.
Shall we print a retraction, sir?
Oh, make no retraction.
I thought you just said he wasn't a communist.
I don't know whether he is or not. I don't have contacts within the Communist Party. Why don't you ask Senator Blake?
Do you think Senator Blake has any contact within the Communist Party?
If Senator Blake doesn't wish to try to clear his own secretary, why should I?
But don't you think that, so far as you know, his secretary is loyal and honorable, sir?
I wouldn't care to say as to that.
You realize you're smearing a man's reputation, Mr. Matthews.
I realize only that I've made a few simple statements, which I hope are not misinterpreted.
But which are easily misinterpreted.
Now, I've had a difficult task in this campaign, something many people, evidently some of you and others on the train, don't understand. I've had to reveal Senator Blake to be something other than the angel everybody thought he was. Now, for that, I expect to be smeared by some. There are always those in politics who play with mud balls when they run out of arguments, when they have no defenses. But my position is clear.
Your position is totally unknown, Mr. Matthews.
Huh?
What's your stand on the labor question,
sir? I have taken a stand against every kind of subversion.
You're running against sin, Mr. Matthews. We know. What's your stand on foreign aid?
What time is it, Seth?
What's your feeling about farm supports, Mr. Matthews?
How about the UN, Mr. Matthews?
Seth!
I'm sorry, gentlemen. Mr. Matthews would like to answer all these questions, but in 20 minutes he has to speak over a state network, so that's
all. Will you answer the questions in your speech tonight, Mr. Matthews?
That's all, man. Now move out of the compartment, please.
Let's go.
Well, let me congratulate you, Mr. Matthews.
On what?
Winning tomorrow.
I didn't think you liked me.
I don't, but the publishers of my newspaper does.
The station, Matt, and there's the band out there.
Ah, wonderful.
You ready? We gotta hurry.
Sure. Hey, where's Susan? We should get a picture of Susan if we get off the train.
She's sick.
What do you mean, sick, Charlie?
She's not going this time, that's all.
Well, where is she?
In her compartment.
You men go ahead and join the motorcade.
But, Matt?
Matt, you don't have much time.
Susan? Hey, Susan.
What do you want, Matt?
The motorcade's waiting, dear.
I'm not going.
Let me get you some aspirin.
I don't need any aspirin.
Charlie said you had a headache.
I do. A sharp one in my mind, Matt. Aspirin doesn't soothe the mind.
What do you mean, honey?
Oh, Matt, please go on. Please let me alone.
Honey, Susan, you and I have come a very long way together. You know that, don't you? All the way fighting, and you beside me.
Please go on, Matt.
Tomorrow night I'll be a United States Senator-elect, and you have to be beside me. Think what it would mean if you weren't.
You mean, what would it mean politically if I wasn't?
What would it mean to me? And to you, and to the children, and to my parents. They're very fond of you, dear.
Oh, please, Matt, go on. Go on, make your speech.
Oh, I know I've broken one or two rules. I explained that to Charlie, but tomorrow night I'll be a senator-elect in spite of everything.
In spite of everything. Get out of here, Matt.
You mean it, don't you, Susan?
Yes.
Oh, honey, Susan, I'd give up the election for you. Is that what you want? Susan, say something, will you?
You're the talker, Matt. You say something.
All right. All right, I'll say this. When I go to Washington, as I am, I'm taking Ann and Tommy with me. You know how anxious they are to go, how glad they are that I'm to be a senator. If you think you can leave me, Susan, and take the children with you, you're wrong. No matter what. Now, come on, Susan. We have only a few minutes to get to the auditorium. That's a nice-looking stage out there, Seth.
48 flags, man. What do you think of that?
Are there many people?
I looked out a minute ago. It's packed.
Yeah, that's good.
Nervous?
Yeah.
Why, Matt?
I don't know. You got a light, Charlie?
Sure.
Where's Susan?
She's over there sitting down in the dressing room. I brought her some coffee.
Charlie, I don't know what I'd do without you.
You'd get along.
I just told her, Matt, and I'm telling you...
Telling me what? I'm nervous now, Charlie, so don't pull anything.
I'm sorry about that, but I'm telling you this. If you go out there and add to the already muddy series of speeches you've made of late, I'm pulling out.
Charlie, wait till tomorrow for all that.
I can't wait until tomorrow. Tomorrow's the election.
I've got a speech all prepared. What do you want me to do?
That speech you have there is probably all demagoguery.
It works.
It shouldn't.
Tell the people. They clap. They applaud. I don't.
2 minutes till broadcast time. Stand by.
Stand by, Matt.
Look, Matt, I have another speech right here. Matt, I wrote it on the train a while ago.
Thanks, Charlie. Thanks. I know you mean well, but
Matt, listen, please. The people trust you. They don't understand that a professor could...
Beat it, Pinko. Beat it.
Let's go on out to the stage.
No, Matt. I got it planned differently this time.
Yeah, how?
You go out after we're on the air. First there's an announcement, then you come in from the wings here. And the people give an ovation, right?
That sounds all right. What do you think about that, Charlie?
Do you wear a string around your neck or not?
1 minute till broadcast time.
Hey, what about the TV cameras? What do they take pictures of if I'm not out there?
I got one camera shooting the audience while the announcement is on. Then camera two shoots the empty podium up there. Then camera one picks up the wings here just as you come out and pans left with you as you walk onto the stage.
All right.
Then the other camera will pick up the crowd going crazy, see? And I got a group picked out for the cameraman up there.
All right. Sounds effective to me, sir.
30 seconds till broadcast time.
Hey, where's Susan?
She's right there.
Hey, Susan. Susan, get ready to go out.
All right, Matt.
I'll see you later, Charlie.
I hope so, Matt.
Oh, yeah, here's a pencil, Matt. You'll need it as a prop in the speech, remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember. Thanks.
Stand by.
Matt, I hope you realize out there you're under the American flag.
Be quiet,
the
Charlie.
The flag of Washington, Madison, Monroe, Jefferson.
Stand by.
The flag of Lincoln.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from the main auditorium of the state capitol, where several thousand people have gathered to hear the final campaign speech of the next senator from this greatest of states.
Okay, Matt, ready?
Arnold B. Matthews.
Wait for the applause to build. Now.
Right. Come on, Susan.
Listen to that. What do you think now, Charlie?
He went on with a bang, didn't he?
A bang and now a bang.
Huh?
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. And I realize that this is only one tiny fraction of the vast group which tomorrow will go to the polls and vote for a new and different government to represent this state in Washington, I feel like cheering. Now, before I go into those vast issues which perplex this nation, I want to continue a policy we have maintained throughout this campaign. I would like to introduce to you my constant companion for these past months, one of my staunchest supporters. Susan, where are you?
I'm here, Matt.
Ladies and gentlemen, my wife. Judging by that applause, perhaps you should be the senator rather than I, Susan. Would you say a few words, dear?
Each of you probably feels he knows how I will vote tomorrow. Matt knows how I will vote tomorrow. I hope that each of you will vote as I do. I hope that each of you will sit down in a quiet place, and in the depths of your mind, you will try to decide which of the candidates is best qualified to represent a great state in the most important legislative body in the world, in a time of crisis, when 100 problems perplex us, when our nation is beset with strange tides of power from many directions, when we are hurled toward world leadership from a period of isolationism. I hope your choice will be thoughtfully and prayerfully made. Thank you.
Who the devil is she for?
Don't you know, Seth?
Sometimes when I hear my wife speak of the job that faces me, when she reminds me of the problems ahead for this country, when she urges me to face them as honestly in Washington as I have faced them in this campaign, it really bothers me a bit, because I feel almost incompetent when she describes the office. but I think I am safe in saying I am more confident of my loyalty and my success in Washington than my opponent from his record has a right to be. I promise you that when I am sent to Washington, I will go with a firm allegiance and loyalty to the basic principles of America. I promise you that when you send me to represent you, I will represent you honestly as God and American history show me the way.
Well, we've got him back. I wonder what Susan's trying to do.
Probably trying to be honest, sir.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, there are problems. There are problems, as my wife said, that face us. And there is one that bothers all of us fathers and all you mothers, I'm sure. And that, of course, as you would say yourself if I asked you, is the problem of subversion in government. As a veteran who watched men die in fierce battle for America, I cannot help but be concerned about the possibility of losing this nation through default. Many nights I can remember crawling into a tent or foxhole, and by use of a flashlight and a worn small pencil. I still carry that pencil. Here it is. Let me move over here. And let one of the television cameras photograph it for the folks back home. Did you get it, cameraman?
Yes, sir.
You know, he's really a genius, Matt is. That wasn't even in the script about the TV camera.
I see.
With this pencil, I would scrawl out letters to the parents of the men who had that day died for this country. Who can doubt my loyalty?
I can doubt your loyalty, Matt. Anybody who would walk over the graves of dead veterans would walk over anything American. Good night, sir.
Leaving, Charlie?
Leaving.
For good?
For good.
Where are you going?
I don't know. I'm going off somewhere and think.
I'll tell Matt. It'll break him up. But after he wins, he'll forget about it. He likes you. Old time trick, I guess.
Sure.
You're crazy to walk out on him now that he's going to be elected. You could get a good job in Washington.
Congratulations, sir.
You do think he's going to win, don't you?
I think he is. The people out there, they're still listening, aren't they?
Taxi!
Yes, sir.
Did he give him the devil in there, sir?
That is the devil in there, mister.
American Adventure is written by John Ely, directed by John Clayton, and is produced by the Communications Center of the University of North Carolina. The series is made possible by grants and aid from the Fund for Adult Education, received through the National Association of Educational Broadcasters. The story just presented was fictional. No similarity to actual individuals was intended. We were dealing with the problem itself. All cast members in American Adventure are students, townspeople, or faculty members of the University of North Carolina. And American Adventure is produced in the studios of the Department of Radio, Television, and Motion Pictures on the campus at Chapel Hill. NBC invites you to listen to American Adventure next.